All right. This is the time and place for a hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider public hearing order number R1-2009-0033. Consider adoption of waste discharge requirements and national pollutant discharge elimination system permit for the City of Eureka, Greater Eureka Area Elk River Wastewater Treatment Facility, MPDES number California 002-4449. This item has been properly noticed. The sheet explains procedures for this hearing is available at the handout table. Will all those who expect to give testimony please stand, raise your right hand, and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that you will tell the truth in this matter? We'll begin with the staff presentation. Charles Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Charles Reed. I'm a staff engineer here at the Water Board. I'd like to enter a file into the record. Item number 7 is a public hearing to consider waste discharge requirements for the City of Eureka Elk River Wastewater Treatment Facility. This permit will serve as an MPDES permit for the next 5 years. I'll be covering the following points in my presentation. I'll be going over the facility setting, the treatment processes, key permit provisions, and special studies that we're requiring in this permit, major requests from the permittee, and a comment letter that we received from the public. And finally, I'll finish up with our staff recommendation. The City of Eureka is located on Humboldt Bay, about midway between Crescent City and the City of Fort Bragg. The City of Fort Bragg and the unincorporated areas within the adjacent Humboldt Community Services District has a population of approximately 44,000. The Elk River Wastewater Treatment Plant treats wastewater for both the City of Eureka and the Humboldt Community Services District. You can see the city. You can see the city center here. Humboldt Community Services District is represented by the outline colored areas. I would point out some of these areas in particular, areas of potential future growth and connection to the greater system. The City of Eureka has 9,600 sewer surface connections, 119 miles of gravity sewer, a number of miles of pressure mains, and the average dry weather flow is 5.24 million gallons per day. Peak wet weather design capacity is 12 million gallons a day. Humboldt Community Services District has over 6,100 sewer service connections, 29 wastewater pumping stations, about 70 miles of sewer mains, and the daily peak flow from this community services district is approximately 3 million gallons a day. The average dry weather flow is approximately 1.49 million gallons a day. Wastewater from the City of Eureka and the Humboldt Community Services District is conveyed to the Elk River Wastewater Treatment Plant located here on the east side of Humboldt Bay. The Elk River is located along here, flows right along the treatment plant. Treated effluent is discharged to Humboldt Bay through a 48-inch outfall that at times it coincides with the outgoing tide, effectively making the discharge an ocean discharge. During extreme wet weather conditions, when effluent flows exceed treatment's hydraulic capacity, excess effluent flows are diverted to an overflow marsh for temporary storage until flows subside. And the next slide will show a better view of the overflow marsh. And this aerial photo shows a closer view of the treatment plant located up here. This is the outfall passing under the Elk River. The treatment processes are here. We'll look at those a little bit closer in the next slide. Effluent storage pond is located here. Sludge lagoons, we'll briefly talk about that a little bit later. And I've drawn here on this photo the outlines of the overflow marsh and the seasonal marshes here. I've also identified in this photo the location of the overflow structure that's used when wet weather flows are overflow to the overflow marsh. And that's right there. So drilling down to see the treatment facilities, I'll just point out some of the major treatment units. Headworks is located here, which contains screening, grit removal, and flow measurement. Rectangular primary clarifiers are located here. Trickling filters are, the circular trickling filters are here, which remove soluble BOD and promote biomass growth, which is then removed in the secondary clarifiers. Chlorine disinfection chlorine is injected here, and there's some chlorine contact here and in the contact basin before it overflows a weir here into the storage pond. Effluent discharge is through a pipe that leads out here. At most flows, it's a gravity fed to the through the outfall pipe, but at higher flows, it's pumped. One component that is worthy of attention here is, of treatment plants is solids handling. Settled sludge from both the primary and secondary clarifiers is directed to the anaerobic digesters, where the sludge is stabilized through biological action. The stabilized sludge is currently discharged to the sludge glumes, which are out of this picture, but a little bit south. But the city of Eureka has just completed construction, I believe, on a new solids drying building where they'll have some belt presses to further dry the sludge and give them some more opportunities for sludge disposal and more flexibility. Federal regulations require publicly owned treatment works to achieve secondary treatment standards for discharges to waters of the U.S. Secondary standards for biochemical oxygen demand and suspended solids are 30 milligrams per liter as a 30-day average and 45 milligrams per liter as a 7-day average, and 85% removal of these constituents compared to the influent concentration. pH also has to be maintained between pH 6 and pH 9. In addition, the California Ocean Plan requires effluent limits for POTWs for settleable solids, turbidity, and oil and grease. These are set out in Table A of the Ocean Plan. Other effluent limitations are required when necessary to meet water quality objectives set out in Table B of the Ocean Plan. For the Eureka discharge, effluent limits were established in the proposed order for copper, cyanide, ammonia, and chlorine residual because the discharge showed a reasonable potential to exceed water quality objectives for these constituents. Effluent limits for total coliform bacteria were retained from the previous permit to ensure that the discharge meets water quality objectives for coliform bacteria, or for bacteria in the ocean. Too fast there. The permit also requires a discharger to conduct two special studies. The first is an effluent discharge study to confirm the permit finding that when discharging on ebb tide, all effluent is flushed out of the bay completely. The original study supporting this finding was completed in 1979, 30 years ago. We thought it was an opportune time to have them relook at this issue. A second special study is a feasibility analysis to justify the currently permitted operation of blending primary and secondary effluent during peak wet weather flows. Federal regulations prohibit bypasses of treatment facilities except under certain circumstances, usually dire circumstances when there's a threat of loss of life, personal injury, or severe property damage. In addition, the discharger must demonstrate there were no feasible alternatives to the bypass and must have provided advance notice of the bypass event to the NPDES oversight agency. However, recent guidance, federal guidance, acknowledges that the challenges of POTWs in managing peak wet weather flows and makes provision for effluent blending under certain circumstances. These circumstances include the blended discharge must meet all permit limits, the bypass was not due to poor system management or failure to invest in treatment upgrades or improve capacity, and the operators must demonstrate that all feasible measures were undertaken to minimize wet weather problems. The special study in this permit requires the discharger to demonstrate that effluent blending at the Elk River Treatment Plant is consistent with the EPA blending policy. The draft permit was properly noticed and made available for public comment on March 23, 2009. The comment period closed on April 23, 2009. Staff received one comment on the draft permit from the City of Eureka. The city requested a revision of the draft permit to adjust the detection level for chlorine residual for meeting the effluent limit of non-detect in the draft permit of 0.05 milligrams per liter, and they wanted to change that to 0.1 milligrams per liter. In reviewing this request, staff discovered that the chlorine residual limit of non-detect was erroneously applied to the ocean discharge and was not consistent with the ocean plan. The revised permit before you today sets new limits for chlorine residual using the procedure established in the ocean plan and does not specify a minimum detection limit. Instead, the permit requires the city to use the method with a detection limit low enough to demonstrate compliance with the new limit. Staff also received a late comment letter on May 18th from a resident living near Martin Slough, where numerous sewer spills have occurred since the late 1980s. The comment letter noted that sanitary sewer overflows occurred between 2000 and 2006 that were allegedly not reported by the city. At this point, I would note that the Regional Water Board took enforcement action for these sanitary sewer overflows in 2007, issuing ACL order number R1-2007-0021, assessing a civil liability of $100,000 to the city. The commenter also raised concerns that the wastewater treatment plant was operating over design capacity and requested that the Regional Water Board require the city to prepare a capacity study to determine the actual capacity of the treatment plant. We've been in discussions with the city on this issue for a number of years, actually. We recognize that there's a lot of development proposed in the outlying areas of the Humboldt Community Services District that is going to increase the flows to the treatment plant. And the capacity issue is one that we've been working on and will continue to work on with the City of Eureka. And we will be requesting this sort of capacity study soon from them. And with that, I would recommend that staff or that the Regional Board adopt this permit as proposed.
Okay, thank you. Board member questions?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Norton.
Hey, Charles.
Morning.
I noticed both on this permit and the next permit through the reasonable potential analysis that there's a dilution factor used of 30 on this site, and there's a dilution factor of 50 on Fort Bragg, which comes next. Can you discuss just how that's derived? How's that calculated, or where's that come from?
Those are done through an engineering study. They were, for both facilities, they were done a number of years ago. And there's some loose guidance given in the ocean plan for how you conduct a dilution study. And they were, to my knowledge, they were followed in both cases. And just given the depth of the discharge point and the location of the discharge point will determine what the dilution factor is. And Fort Bragg, being a direct ocean discharge, has a little bit more dilution available to it.
And even in the tables supporting the analysis, I noticed something like copper. It shows the maximum effluent concentration measured, and it's nowhere close. It's many orders of magnitude actually less than what's allowed as per the permit. Just a comment. I mean, That reasonable potential analysis and going through that water quality-based effluent limitation sets a rather high limit based on that dilution.
Right. That's the way the ocean plan is set up.
Yeah.
And that's in contrast to the permits you see for inland surface dischargers, which are afforded no dilution in our basin plan.
And is it right that this site discharges only on ebb tide, period?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
There are times when it's not possible to discharge on ebb tide, and that's one of the reasons for the overflow marsh. There are times when circumstances are such and the window is so small for the ebb tide discharge that it's not possible. So the overflow marsh is used in that case. But the city takes pretty takes a lot of care in monitoring the tides to make sure that they discharge within that window.
Thank you, Charles.
You're welcome.
You'd raised the question or the ebb tide issue and the need for a study based upon the been 30 years since it's been done. Is just the passage of time the only reason, or
mostly? But it's a critical issue. The shellfish harvesting in the Humboldt Bay is a very important beneficial use. And as you might imagine, if all the waste from the city of Eureka is not discharged out of the mouth and makes it up into the upper bay, that could be a significant impairment of beneficial use. So we want to make sure that all the original assumptions are still valid and the model that was used will give us the same outcome.
Now, this moment, not able to put my finger on the page where those dates are laid out in terms of when those studies are due. My sense was that they're a long ways off.
I think they were, if I recall, they were...
It's page 19.
We were wanting them to be submitted with the reported waste discharge for the next permit.
For the next go-round?
Yeah, so we could make whatever... changes we need to make to the next permit. But my suspicion is that they'll do it earlier than that. We'll know earlier what we need to do.
And in your comment on the other study, the effluent study, the need to comply with EPA policy, is that clearly stated somewhere so that all parties know what it is that they're trying, the mark they're trying to strive for?
Right. The policy is available numerous places, and I recreated a lot of the requirements that we would expect, or the features we would expect to see in a study in the fact sheet. I can't grab the page right now, but...
No, that's okay.
But it is fairly straightforward, and we'll be working with them to refine what we need from them.
And the overflow marsh, does it get overwhelmed in winter storm periods, or has it got capacity for anything it's ever had to face?
They've used it, but it's actually seldom used. It's really extreme conditions, and when a number of conditions occur at the same time, very high flow, very small discharge window, and it doesn't happen that often. I don't believe they used it last year. It's been a couple of years since they used that. And it's not a tremendous volume either.
And you mentioned the concerns about capacity, but you said that would be coming back. There'd be some review. I'm curious as to what vehicle that'll take or
well, we would
what
probably
would be the trigger.
It would be a request for information. We would acknowledge that there's a lot of expected growth. They're roughly 70 to 80% at capacity below. They're at 70 to 80% capacity now. There's nothing magical about 80%, but it is, you know, given the amount of growth that we see on the horizon, it would be worthwhile to look into whether they have adequate capacity for that.
There's also provision in Title 23 that allows us to request that type of information when we have knowledge that they're within 4 years of capacity. So we have a couple of different tools we could use. It doesn't have to occur during a permit renewal.
Yeah, I see the four-year window in the permit here, and so would use that proviso, I guess, to come back.
Well, the city has been looking at this for a long time, so they have a lot of information at their fingertips already. I don't think it'll take a long time to prepare for them.
We should also make a determination on whether that late comment would be part of the record before we move on the permit.
Outside of hearing it, I haven't seen it. So
I think it was attached perhaps to the Fort Bragg, at least mine was.
It was under my impression that was going to be emailed to you earlier this week.
Well, it's been discussed and dealt with, and it'll be part of the record.
Okay.
Fine. With that, other board member questions of staff? Do we have any public comment? And I'm not familiar with the city's folks by sight, but just if you can make comment or just acknowledge that you're here, that's good enough by me.
So. Okay, very brief. Michael Knight, City of Eureka, Assistant City Manager Operations. I'd like to acknowledge that I'm here, and I'd like to acknowledge also that our Deputy Public Works Director, Bruce Young, is here, soon to be Director. So very brief, the City of Eureka has been in the third or fourth year of a facility planning effort that deals with the capacity issue. The first several years focused on the collection system. We moved on to the initial phase of evaluating the wastewater treatment plant. We understand the issues. We call it phase 2A, so we clearly understand the issues at the wastewater treatment plant. We're very comfortable. We've identified what we need to do in this next five-year planning horizon. We've already entered into contracts for the completion of the facility plan, and I think these are the kinds of things your board would say, City of Eureka, you should do this, and we'd say we're in the fourth year of doing this, and we'll be done, you know, whenever the termination of the contract is. But we're well on the way to completing that study. I wanted to thank both John Short and Charles Reed. We've been working with them for some time now on the issues. We had good dialogue through the process. We understand the changes to the permit. We understand why they're asking for the two studies, and we've already identified the cost of those two studies. We're working with Brown and Caldwell, who's doing our facility planning effort. I'm not sure we've signed the amendment to the contract yet, but we have identified the cost for those studies. They clearly understand what those studies need to look like, and they were described in some length in our contract amendment that may or may not be signed as of yet. So with that, we appreciate the effort and look forward to your action.
The city had a question on the chlorine item. Are you satisfied then the way that worked
Absolutely.
Out?
Right. Absolutely.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Norn.
Can I ask a quick question, sir? Any plans to reuse any of this water in the future? I know with secondary you have limited reuse options, but is there any plan or any intent to reuse any of this water in the future?
That's certainly not off the table, but we haven't had good discussions on that. So, but we'll certainly be looking at those kinds of options.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Oh, is that right?
Okay.
Too much water.
Thank you. Any other member of the public? Bring it back to the board.
Mr. Chair, I would give you a motion to adopt R1 2009-0033.
Second.
Any question? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Very good. Thank you. Go on to item 8.